That's horrible.
For CGLO News, I'm Zach Jutra. Quebec City police say they stopped the formation of a pro-Palestinian encampment on the grounds of Université Laval Saturday evening, requiring protesters to take down tents while allowing a wider demonstration to continue.
And we're back with a brand new episode of Beats and Beyond. I know it's been a couple weeks that I haven't been back, so this is Ari Najani back with a brand new episode of Beats and Beyond after a three-week break. It's been amazing to take some time off to work on school, to work on life, to work on relationships, and celebrate people that I consider the most important around me. So I'm very happy to say that I'm back now, and we have a couple guests lined up. We have a lot of progress that I have made in my personal life that I can't wait to share on today's episode. But we do have Jesse. Jesse is the owner, the founder, and the CEO of Solemn Media. They support creators and brands alike to grow and upscale their exposure on social media. A lot more to come from Jesse, but this would not be Beats and Beyond if we do not start with a wonderful morning Afrobeat song. So this song is coming out of South Africa. This is Tyla with Commas. I hope you enjoy.
Now which kind of life way I never see? I carry God so I fear nothing. Steady increase in the commas, commas, commas. Original no be parody. You know feel clear for your memory. Whether now winter or summer, I did Papa does drive on now. Living life, see my fire burning bright within the inside me. Small way they my feet, and never know I color. Do the move fine, check and balance. Everything inside my mind daily. Trust me, you can't fool me. Energy don't buy logo. Oh, I'm friendly and conscious. I'm allergic to circles.
It's always great to be back on Wednesday, 9 a.m. with the CJLO audience. It's been a while. There have been a lot of different decisions I've had to make in my life in general. So, major update is that I am now the social media lead for Montreal United FC, which is a development soccer club here in Montreal. And I support all their social media work, and I conduct all the interviews. And I'm also supporting the coaching staff with a one-on-one conversations with some of the players, as well as some tactical analysis. So a little bit of an overall position where I can support the team wherever needed, particularly with their social media exposure. So that's been absolutely great. Speaking about social media exposure, our guest coming on, Jesse, is someone who supports brands and creators upscale and increase their exposure on social media. So a lot of questions to do with that. I know Jesse because he worked with Gabriel, who is the CEO of Strips, and we were connected through him. And now I have the absolute pleasure to have Jesse on to ask him questions about his journey as someone who is now a CEO of a media house. So stay tuned for that wonderful interview with Jesse coming along. One piece of news that I'd love to share today in the morning that I found pretty intriguing was that one of the Quebec high school teachers built an arcade in their classroom to support students who kept using their phones all the time. So in order to get rid of the kids using their phones, they built an arcade in class to allow kids to have time to play actual games that force them to use their brain and trick them into really getting into school learned lessons, but through games instead of using their phones. I found that interesting because the UK, Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of the UK, banned high school or primary schools, elementary school students from using their phones in class. So I found this a very interesting take on how to deal with that situation, but it's just something that, because I didn't get to experience in my early years in elementary school, particularly using my phone and laptop, I found this very interesting. The last piece of news I will share before we get into a few more bangers for the 9 a.m. show, before we have Jesse on, is that the Champions League has concluded, and Real Madrid once again crowned the winners, the champions of the Champions League, for the 16th time. 15th or 16th time. They've been doing this year after year with stars or without stars, so it's really hard to tell when they'll stop their dominance in the Champions League. But that happened, and Kylian Mbappe, the day after, announced his signing from Paris Saint-Germain to Real Madrid. So they only got stronger, and it's only going to get worse for the other teams in the Champions League. But I will not bore you with more sports, because you will see a lot of that on my social media. Here's another song by Rema. London.
She need for my bad boy like me. Yeah, yeah. Sexy kiss is the thing that she ain't for my lips. Yeah, yeah. My sex and soul is the only air that she breathe. And when I look into her eyes, I know that she can never get enough of me. Your body high me like lean. When we do it, skin to skin. And as the rush they increase, I feel the drip in your V. Shorty say she feeling so, she grab my neck and she whisper please. Shorty give me dirty splash from my chest to my knees. In a bucket list, I give her number one. She need a bucket quick. And when we done, she feel me like a majesty. Grip, 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 grip. Round two, quick, quick, quick. Round three, a pele bit. Next day we go do one for your place. Make sure that your daddy is known. Make sure that your mommy is known. Switch off that television. Netflix know what I came here for. Shoddy better shut your door. Cause I know one disturb me, but Shoddy like it when I drill a hole. When I finish, I go. Sex like a gangster. On my face, innocent. Struck up pussy with.
weather's finally great in Montreal. I had the pleasure of attending the International Knights of Africa Festival press conference that happened last week. That was amazing. I was really happy to be able to do that, and to represent CJLO at a press conference was really cool. I got to interview one of the hosts, and I got to meet the head of communications for the entire festival. So I would definitely say check that festival out. And before I bore you to death, I'm going to run an ad break for the Knights of Africa Festival, and we'll have Jesse on right after that for the amazing interview that I'm so excited for, and one that will provide a lot of insight. So stay tuned for that, and here's our first ad break of the session.
The Festival International Nuit d'Afrique invites you to its 38th edition. Join us in Montreal for the best of world music from July 9th to the 21st. Over 700 artists, 6 concert venues, 2 outdoor stages, and much more. For 13 days, come and discover the biggest names and the newest sensations from Africa, the Caribbean, and Latin America. Full program and tickets on festivalnuitdafrique.com.
And we're back with a brand new episode of Beats and Beyond. I have Jesse with me in the studio. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jesse. Thank you so much for being here. I know you have a busy schedule running your own stuff, but also supporting other brands and creators. But we really appreciate you being here in the studio today. Jesse, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, just so the audience can get to know you a little bit? I tried to look you up online, and there's not too much about your personal brand or profile. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, for sure. So my name is Jesse Ifra. I'm a young entrepreneur from Montreal, and I help brands and creators grow their social media presence and actually monetize their audiences to have an impact on their market and help get their products out there. I'm a high school student. I'm big into sports, and yeah.
That's interesting, Jesse. You spoke a little bit about supporting brands and supporting their products to be out there. How did you get into that in the first place? What was your thought looking at social media and somehow understanding the trends and the norms within that space, and now suddenly becoming an entrepreneur within that space?
So it all really started around COVID time. And I was trying to get into making money online and kind of making a bit of money on the side. And I kind of realized that social media is really the thing of the future, and attention was becoming a currency of the future. And being able to control people's attention, have them pay attention to you, would be a very, very valuable skill in the near future. So I kind of got into that. And over time, I started learning through different resources what would do well, what would get people to focus, what would get people intrigued, and what would keep them focusing on different kinds of brands and creators.
Fair enough. And I've seen the work that you've done with Gabriel at Strips. Can you tell us, who was your first client? What was your first big product or brand per se that really gave you the motivation to do more?
Yeah, for sure. So in the earlier days of Solo Media, we kind of worked with podcasts and more individual creators. And right. So the first bigger project we had was with a podcast from Florida. I'm not sure if you know them, No Filter Nick.
And ooh, I think I've heard of them. No Filter Nick. I think I've heard of them. Yeah.
So we helped them grow their following from 14,000 to 45,000 in 2 months. And that was the really first big project we did together. And it really gave me an insight into how the whole industry works. And it really gave me a lot of lessons that really took me very far.
That's amazing to hear. You had someone from Florida. How did you reach out to them? Was it just a cold email, a cold text? How did that work out?
Yeah, so it was actually really, really lucky. In the beginning, I was just blasting cold DMs every single day. And so eventually, I had one person respond. And what I would actually do is pretty clever. I would actually offer to make free clips for anyone who would want free clips. And then since I was having so many people saying, yes, I want a free clip, I wouldn't actually make the clips myself. But I was also hiring editors at the time. So I would take the free clip from them and have the editor make a trial clip, and that would be the free clip for them.
So, right. Okay. So you were testing out other editors at the same time.
Right. So that was kind of my strategy.
That's interesting. I love to hear that. I love to hear how entrepreneurs have their first break and using unorthodox methods, per se, to get into certain sectors of business. Tell me more about your personal interest in the social media world. Are you someone who would want to post stuff and make reels and post stories, or do you just enjoy and get that fulfillment from helping others?
So the thing I see in social media is really the middle between the kind of creative and artistic video filmmaking and the business kind of like monetization and growth side. So that's really where I find the most interesting, finding a balance between the two of those. And for me personally, like the main thing I'm interested in is helping other brands grow their influence and like kind of share their stories of the founders, the people who work there and the products and really the effects it has in like an artistic way that still works efficiently and that makes sense for business.
Wow. That's a lot of very, very sophisticated language that you use to explain a very simple editing and posting kind of method. But that's what people think it is. It's very simple. It's recording, editing, and posting. But there's a lot of research that goes into how you can maintain someone's attention on a particular video, or how a product needs to be centered and showcased to gain the maximum level of attention. Jesse, can you tell me more about what a typical day looks like in your life? Given that you're still in high school, you are a CEO of a media house, you work with all these brands and creators, and you know a little bit about yourself and you know a little bit about the market that you're working in. Can you tell us a typical day in your life?
Yeah, for sure. So I usually get up around 6 a.m. and from 6 a.m. until around 7 o'clock when I start getting ready for school, I just do kind of like the boring work for my business, like kind of doing random things for clients here and there. And then from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., I'm just going through school, going through the motions and taking care of that to make sure I kind of keep up the standard in school.
Absolutely.
And then from 4 to 5, I kind of rest a bit, maybe do a bit more random work. And then from 5 to 8, I usually go train. I either go do judo or I go to the gym. And then from 5 and from like 8 till 12, 1, I do a bit of work and then I go to bed.
Fair enough. Damn, man. I wish I had that level of understanding that you have at high school to run a business on the side and to do more research and to make that profitable. Can you tell us what scale you've got Solemn Media to now? How many people work for you and how many clients on an estimate you have working for you, you were working for at the moment?
For sure. So right now we're working with about 6 clients. That mm-hmm. those are our main clients. And right. we do some smaller freelance projects on like the side. But our main 6 clients are really those we put most of our time and effort into. And we have a team of 3 to 4 editors, scriptwriters, and obviously myself, depending on the time.
So how does it work with creators? And I'm going to take Gabriel, for example, without giving off too much insider information. What goes into producing a bunch of reels or one particular reel if a new product is coming out per se? Is it you providing a script or is it Gabriel making up his own script and trying to shoot a video and then you are on the editing side of things?
Okay, so with Gabriel in particular, it's pretty unique because he's very, very implemented and very part of it.
Right.
So it's a bit unique, but in general, the way it goes, it's a 6-step process, mm-hmm. and it all starts with research. So we make sure to analyze different creators and trends in the so-called the client's niche,
right.
just to see what's working well for other people.
Yep.
And then based off that, we'll start ideating ideas, creating scripts, and then it's up to the client to film the footage. And then from there, our team of editors will take care of it, make sure it all looks super nice and crisp, and then we'll send it over to be scheduled and posted on social media.
Right. So the filming is upon the business owner on their own.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered moving into that space where you would be filming for other creators?
Yeah, we have. So I'm actually thinking of launching as a part of my service, a way of having a videographer go out and actually help the creator film or the brand film footage on a specific day.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem that seems to come up with that is logistics. So having multiple clients filming on multiple days
right.
with different kind of videographers can be definitely very, very challenging as yeah. far as logistics go.
Yeah. How do you choose who your editors are? Are they your friends? Are they people you go to school with? Are they people you have seen their work before online? How does that work?
So as far as hiring editors go, I don't do work any with my friends, my family, none of that. I really focus on finding people who have really good experience and have worked with other people in the past who I know are credible. And then from there, I just have a new trial. And I find the most important thing is finding someone who's already really, really good at what they do. And then if I really vibe with their personality, they're on the same mission, they understand what we're trying to do, where we're trying to go, then I feel like they're a good fit. And obviously, they have to have the scale to work with us. They have to be at the right level.
Right. How do your parents feel about that? What's the family opinion on all that you do? Because I think it's very misunderstood, the ability for individuals to grow their businesses online. You said 4,000 to 40,000, if I'm not mistaken, within 2 months. That's a lot. That's a big number. All of that progress made, how does the family feel about it?
Right. So it's actually a funny story because in the beginning, I didn't tell my family at all. So like I kept my business completely secret for like 8 months. And I just because I knew that if I told my mom, my dad, they would be like, oh no, it's a scam. You're getting scammed, all this. And they would like completely shut me down. And I saw the potential in it. So I decided to kind of keep it secret and to myself for the first few months until I had some sort of results I could show them. And I got results a bit later than most people do because it took me a bit of time. But
by results, do you mean growing the number of followers for businesses, or is that money-wise, making money out of
both? Just to kind of show them that like I was serious and I was not just wasting my time or getting scammed by some guy online. So just like having a few clients, having results that for clients, just having a bit of proof that I kind of knew what I was doing and I wasn't wasting time was the biggest thing before telling my parents, because I knew they would doubt me, and like even today they doubt me a little bit, but now they kind of see I know what I'm doing, so it's a bit better.
That's interesting. But before we move on to the next thing, I just wanted to ask you, have there been different methods you've used to get clients? You said you used to cold DM or message people. What are other ways you've explored, if you have explored, to get clients?
Yeah, so we used to start with cold DMs on Instagram, and that works really, really well if it's done properly. Facebook works really well as well, and we did that a lot for a while. And I find referrals, having a good referral program works really, really well. And also emails, like highly personalized emails with like a video attached, like a lot of effort into every single email. I found that works really well as well.
Yes, already giving out pieces of evidence for work you've done. Yeah. That's interesting. I love to hear that. I want to move on to something regarding your entire experience. So you said you started this at COVID time, am I correct?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Around 2020, 2019-ish. Yeah. And it's been about 3 to 4 years. Can you tell us maybe a memorable experience or a certain brand that you worked with and you had a video that may have blown out of proportion a lot more than you thought it would, and that maybe had stuck with you? Is there one of those moments?
Yeah, there is. And it's actually with Gabriel from Strips.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I started working with him around March of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing really great work. And then one night, it was my birthday. And it was, I think, we had like agreed on 30 videos for the first month. And it was the last video. And I didn't have anything. So we were on the way to the restaurant for my birthday. And just in the car, I threw up something quick. And that video actually ended up going super, super viral. Mm-hmm. And we got like 3.1 million views with it. So
whoa. Yeah. Okay, shit. Wow. Yeah, I'm not supposed to use, excuse my language for that. But wow, 3 million? That's insane. And you said you had the idea from where you were in the car going to your birthday stuff, your birthday dinner. Was that you writing down a script or writing down an idea and pitching that to Gabriel? What was that?
It was actually just a video with B-roll text and music over it.
Okay.
And it was like very, very basic. It's a 7-second video, just like kind of with B-roll of him in class giving strips to people with like a text over it, and like a trending song at the time. And I was really surprised how well it did. I knew it was going to do well, but not that well.
Wow, that's insane. And how often do you feel trends change and transition into different things? Because you always have to be up to date with what's in, whether it's a new sound, whether it's a different type of font, whether it's how long or short your video is. How do you keep up with these trends?
Yeah, so I find trends change really, really quickly in today's day and age. And like they live, they die much, much faster. So by the time you realize the trend, it's probably already over. So the main way I keep up with trends is just having a list of 15, 30, 50 creators in any certain given industry, and just following the kind of content they make, the kind of like kind of general ways they're following is really, I find, the biggest thing, as well as like hashtags and searches on TikTok and so on.
So what do you feel like is trending at the moment? What is really gunning for creators to get the most views?
So I think the biggest trend I'm seeing like in the past 6 months would really be like authenticity and uniqueness.
Yes.
So we're seeing that in a few different ways. Like a lot of people are making their content much longer and a lot less edited, just to, so the personality and what they're sharing really comes through. And other people are interpreting that through like having different editing styles and like positioning their videos in like cool and completely special effects enhanced ways. So I think really being like super, super unique is the biggest trend we're seeing.
Yeah. Wow, I find that super interesting because I'm more musically inclined and I follow trends with music. And what's going on at the moment is on the EDM house side, you have all these mashups with amapiano and Arabic music. You have Afrobeat and hip hop. So a lot of these mashups are coming in to the EDM house scene. Whereas on the hip hop side, you have the 2000s R&B kind of sound coming back for the summer. So I'm very musically inclined, but it's very hard to judge what's gunning for people on the social media side of things. I know TikTok and Instagram or Meta release a yearly content update where they share what their plans are to support content creators for the whole year. And a lot of that had to do with authenticity. What do you feel like will be the thing going forward 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now? If you can anticipate what a certain trend might look like in the future, what would that be?
I think because there's so many creators online now, really having longer content where you just really share value and having a really good, not product, but personality and brand is really going to be the biggest thing. So not just being unique and having something wacky and weird, but actually having something that's really, really valuable is the only way to stand out in the future. And that's like a bit vague, but...
No, I hear you. I hear you. And how do you feel that you want to grow Solemn Media through those trends?
So as far as Solemn Media goes, I think the angle we're going to approach is really having a mix between like creative and like artistic kind of video creation, where we tell stories, we share different insights and so on, and business kind of videos where we can actually monetize. So I think that angle, paired with our experience and our knowledge, will allow us to be like a really, really unique kind of brand that there are not that many people talking about, like those kinds of topics out there, as well as like provide a lot of value to people that's actually implementable.
Right. You know what I found interesting, Jesse, hearing about you for the first time from Gabriel? Gabriel mentioned you're a young kid who's in high school, who has a big ambition and who has a good know-how of social media and this world that we live in. What about the people that you work with or are editors who work under you? How old are they, and does an age discrepancy affect that relationship?
Yeah, so most of the people I work with are usually older than me, but most of the people on my team are also like 18 to 24.
Right.
So they are a bit older than me. There is a bit of an age discrepancy.
Yeah.
But I find because I'm a bit mature, and that I kind of do know what I'm talking about to some extent, there is a ton of respect there. And we all really have the same mission. We want to grow a big company. We want to have a future. We want to have an impact on the market. So since we all have the same mission, there's not a problem there. And we're all really, really close.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So do you guys converse almost every day? Is there other group meetings? How do you dive into delegating work to your different editors?
So the way I usually work is I have 2 to 3 clients per editor, and they just take care of work for 2 to 3 clients just so that they can kind of understand what those clients need, the style for those specific clients, the pacing, the framing, so on, just so they get comfortable with that client, his message, and really he becomes the creative director for the certain client.
Right.
And that's really how I delegate the work. And as for communication, I usually communicate with them one-on-one pretty much every single day with feedback, with just insights into their personal life, see how they're doing, if they need any more help, they didn't have any problems I can help them with, and just really connecting with them on a more personal basis than just work.
Right. I love how you give your editors ownership almost on brands and allow them to be creative directors in that sense. I want to know more about your journey becoming a CEO of Solemn Media now, what were one of the challenges or situations you may have faced where you might have not known how to get out of, whether it's with a client or in your own personal sense?
Competition. Mm. So there's a lot of people kind of doing similar things to me online right now.
Okay.
So in the beginning, it was really, really hard to get clients. And I remember just thinking, like, my God, I can't do this. I can't just keep sending DMs into the void. I'm not getting anything. I'm wasting my time. Should I just go work a regular job?
Right.
And I was really considering it. I almost quit. It was like, I remember that one night, I was like, okay, this is the end. And
wow. The next morning,
I was like, okay, one more week. And that's when I got, like, my first big client.
Yeah.
And so competition was the biggest problem for me in the beginning. And I think really persistence, it was like the only way to get through it, and the mindset of I have nothing to lose. I already don't have any clients, so sending more DMs is not going to lose me anything.
Right.
I'm not Absolutely. Doing anything that time, so I might as well send the DMs. And over time, I had little projects, and they compounded. And just having more and more experience made the process of getting clients easier, and it compounds.
Wow, that's so amazing. I want to know more about how you build packages and how you bill clients. Do you have set packages earlier, or do you speak to the clients and then based on their needs you devise a financial package for them to pay you over a monthly period or based on particular projects?
So we do have set packages for clients. We have three tiers. But usually when clients come to us, we try to accommodate them. And if they want more or less, we are flexible with our packages and we do alter them to kind of fit their needs. Mm-hmm. But if it's too extreme and they want one video a week, it's not really worth it for our team to dedicate a lot of our effort into that kind of individual.
Right.
So usually we do alter our packages a little bit, but not too much.
Interesting. Can you tell us the packages? Can we go through the tiers if possible, if you know them off your head?
Yeah, sure. So the main package is 30 videos a month, so one for every single day, mm-hmm. as well as help with monetization. And that's really our main package. And we just push that one the most because it really encompasses everything. And we help them get attention, control attention, and monetize attention. That's really the three steps.
Right.
And we have other packages like 15 or 20 videos per month. And that one is for people who aren't fully confident in our service yet, just to kind of get them started. And people usually go with those, end up coming back the second month and say, okay, let's go full time.
Just because
they're a bit more confident by that time.
Yeah, and they're happy with the results.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I want to know more with your work about with Strips and Gabriel. Is he on that tier package where he has a video almost every day?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Because I see a lot of stuff coming up for Strips, and every day it's a brand new video with a brand new idea, and I love the concept and I love the work that Gabriel does. And just knowing that it generates from Solemn Media, it comes from you, I think it's great to see that progress that Gabriel is making, but you are making behind the scenes as well. What made you feel like you're making significant progress? Was there a big check? And if so, tell us how that came about, that really gave you the indication that you're on to go on to bigger things.
Yeah, so really the significant progress came in two phases. Mm-hmm. So the way I like to look at it is like a dam filling up, and then eventually the dam breaks and everything flows.
Right.
So it's usually like very, very dry, nothing at all for like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
And then three clients come in one go. And we pack up like that.
Yeah.
So the first one was back in December.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like three really good clients come on. And we started working with them really good and doing some really amazing work.
Can you tell us the brands if possible? Can you tell us the clients and the brands that you were working with?
Yeah, so the people we took on in December were actually more individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So like coaches and kind of like consultants.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, for example, was Nicole Cherry. Nicole Cherry. And she's a finance and meditation coach. So we took her on in December,
mm-hmm.
and we started working with her. We're not working with her anymore, unfortunately, because
mm-hmm.
Things went, she wanted to go a different direction with her brand.
Right.
But yeah, that was the first really big boost of success in December.
Yes.
And then the second one was actually more recently, like at the beginning of this year, around February, March. And we took on again three clients, and that's when we kind of made the shift from working with personal brands and individuals to really working with startups and companies. So that's when we started working with Gabriel, with NutriBalance, with Cactus, all these other kind of companies who are like startups. And
yes.
That was like really the second bigger indication of success.
Yeah. So do you feel like the startup base and the startup market is where you find the most success so far?
Yeah.
And why is it so? Sorry.
So the reason I find I enjoy working with these people more and they were having more success is because the people who are startup founders are way more passionate about their products and they just care a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be there. They want to be making videos. They want to be on social media. They want to be out there. So
Right. Having
people like Gabriel who are super proactive, who really, really care about their product and believe that what they're doing can help other people and have an impact on their lives
mm-hmm. Is
really amazing to like see and be around. So as opposed to like other people with kind of like personal brands who are just in it for the money.
Right.
So I found that was really a big reason for the success.
Right. That's amazing to hear, particularly because I've met Gabriel a couple times and because he is a sponsor for Montreal United, I've had to meet him on a couple occasions through that as well. And one thing is for sure that he is very, very committed to his product and he's very passionate about it as well. But do you also feel that because you're the CEO of a young media house and you're also almost like a startup base, that working with other startups almost gives you a lot of flexibility, maybe compared to other personal individual creators who might have a vision in mind and want you to perfect that vision rather than be flexible with your ideas?
Yeah, I find that working with companies is a bit more flexible than just like creators.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like we're usually working with smaller startups in the beginning.
Right.
And they usually also have kind of a really solid vision where they want their brand to go. So that is a problem. Like, but we usually work really, really close with the founders, the people in charge of the media and all that to really have a vision and stick to the branding.
Wow, Jesse, it's been an absolutely insightful conversation so far, and we're coming close to the end of the entire conversation, but I want to know more, and please address this to the audience for people who are in the social media world. What advice would you give to aspiring maybe video editors and content creators who are looking to break into the industry and have a big mark?
The first thing I'd say is kind of cliche, but work for free. Just that if you're getting started out, even if you're a really, really good editor, you have a bunch of experience, but you don't have clients yet, work for free. Like, you're a nobody, I'm a nobody, work for free. And that's the only way to get started because there's just so much competition, work for free. And the second thing will just be consistency. Like, it does work. In the end, it does end up going through and having results. Like, being consistent, showing up every day, having the right KPIs, putting in the work every single day does come out successful in the end.
Wow. Jesse, for a young man, you were very insightful, and honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure. Before we have you leave the studio today, I'm going to ask you a question I ask most of my guests on the show. Is Jesse, 5 years from now, where do you see yourself?
That's a really tough question because I'm like kind of coming to the end of high school. I'm not really sure if I'm going to go university.
This is a very transitional year in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So There's two possibilities I see.
Mm-hmm.
Either if my business is where I want it to be by the end of high school, my parents won't be too happy to hear this, but I might go full in on the business and really commit myself.
Right.
Because we were talking about this, you can always go back to university. So I think full commitment might just be my chance because it really is once in a lifetime, especially with the kind of day and age we live in right now.
Yep, absolutely.
And the second alternative would kind of be to try and split my efforts between university and my business. So that's really the second alternative I see.
Wow, Jesse, thank you so much for being here today. I know you're a busy guy, and it's honestly a pleasure to have you at CJLO on Beats and Beyond. And hopefully we get to see you around a lot more, and we get to see Solemn Media grow and grow and only do better. So thank you, Jesse. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Beats and Beyond is still here. We have about 20 minutes on our show, and next up I'm gonna play one of our songs from Diamond Platnumz all the way from Tanzania. So I hope you enjoy this.
Feeling for my head in Pakara. feeling silly, babe. Me, I'm feeling, come my head, if I cut up. Are you gonna dance? If I show you my money, are you gonna party? Kiss that twang and you mum. Can you keep working them? Okay, talk them. In a good
an absolute pleasure to be back on Beats and Beyond for our audience here at CJLO. We're going to go into our second ad break of the session. Before I do that, I just want to let you guys know that I will be continuing Beats and Beyond every Wednesday from now on. So stay tuned for our wonderful guest speakers that are going to come up pretty soon. So stay tuned for Beats and Beyond. We're on to our second ad break of the session.
Hello.
The 24th edition of Suoni per Il Popolo stirs things up June 13th to the 23rd. Experimental, punk, jazz, noise, weirded out sounds, a film series, workshops, all jammed into 12 days to throw some fun and inspiration at our messed up world. Anthony Braxton and Wolf Eyes, Backwash, Irreversible Entanglements, Geneva Jacuzzi, and so much more. Full lineup and information about day passes and tickets can be found on suoniperilpopolo.org or follow us at suoniperilpopolo.
All right, we are back with a song called Seiya by Sativa Music. For all the Quebecois and the Montrealers, I hope you all love this because this song has been popping off everywhere.
Quand viendra la nuit, nous ne formerons plus qu'un seul corps. Tu fuiras vers l'est avec une sacoche remplie d'or. Évidemment, je serai l'épanouissement de ton cœur. Prends la sortie de secours, je serai tout près de l'ascenseur. Jamais douté, tu sais bien que j'aurais tout fait. Comme un dire non. Seiya, je te sens sur le bout des doigts. Dans ma tête, c'est chez toi. Tu veux quoi au final? Oh, Seiya, je te ressens sur le bout des doigts. Si je dis oui à tout va, ça va me faire mal.
Seiya, quiero estar contigo donde sea. Centro, te estoy pensando y no te miento, que no me olvido nunca de todos los momentos. Y peleando y discutiendo, y no sé lo que tú ya quieres, no te entiendo. Y no soy bando y no me vendo, y tú te enfadas por lo que yo estoy haciendo.
Seas tu sanción.
Today's a special day because it's actually my sister Samara's birthday. So Samara, who's in Kenya at the moment, if you're listening to this, a happy birthday. I hope you have an amazing day. And to commemorate my wonderful sister's birthday, I'm going to play a special song from Tanzania by Diamond Platnumz, which is a celebratory song. I hope you guys enjoy this.
Ay, atiende este tema, oh, mamá, este tema. Tipo, tipo, este tema, oh, mamá, este tema. Ay, atiende este tema, oh, mamá, este tema. Chuka chini, este tema, oh, mamá, este tema. Tetema, yani kama umepigwa shoti. Tetema, kipe mige misho ya roboti. Tetema, ukutani hadi kwenye kochi. Tetema, kwenye giza mama shika tochi. Kataka kama noga, oh mama. Nakapandizi za buko, oh mama. Nakapandisha boda boda, oh mama. Nakichoka kuchuma mboga, oh mama. Ay, mama, shigidi, ah. Nakufa, hoi, wikidi, ah. Ay, mama, shigidi, konki, fire, moto, liquidi.
Ayatende tetema, oh mama tetema. Tipo tipo tetema, oh mama tetema. Ayatende tetema, oh mama tetema. Shuka chini tetema, oh mama tetema. Ayatende tetema, oh mama tetema. Tipo tipo tetema, oh mama tetema. Ayatende tetema, oh mama tetema. Shuka chini tetema, oh mama tetema.
Tetema, yani kama vile generator. Tetema, kama mwizi kakupiga ngata. Tetema, mwendo wa kutunga kupepeta. Tetema, chini nikipuliza tarumbeta.
Asa woza, toza, teza shogoroza. Kufa chali kama mende. Maria Rose, poza, tungi limegoza. Twende ni kupige nyembe.
Okay.
You make my mind go kolo, kolo, kolo. Ukinuna tunye toro, toro, toro.
Sani pesa digi digi.
Wash.
Biuno ya gigi gigi.
Wash.
Funga kibinda mkwiji kwiji.
Wash.
Nikunyonge kazigi zigi.
Tete.
Oh mama tetema. Tipo tipo tetema. Oh mama tetema. Aya tunde tetema. Oh mama tetema. Shuka chini tetema. Oh mama tetema. Aya tunde tetema. Oh mama tetema. Tipo tipo tetema. Oh mama tetema. Aya tunde tetema. Oh mama tetema. Shuka chini tetema. Oh mama tetema.
Kisha kime, kime, kime mpana.
Amewe huka,
kime, kime mpana.
Napandisha mizuka,
kime, kime mpana.
Anaruka ruka,
kime, kime mpana. Kisha kime, kime, kime mpana.
Napanda juu ya meza,
kime, kime mpana.
Eti anavua shati,
kime, kime mpana.
Kalewa anateza,
kime, kime mpana.
Yani varangati.
Judge, your love give me fever. All the time you come and done the shiver. Now you be the one, just believe it. La diva, my diva. Oh, you turn Batman to Cena. With your sexy body, Carolina. For your love, I go fight like John Cena. Ataka mani kiongu kusina. Kupe kila kitu,
oh baby.
Mchana kwa siku,
oh baby.
Tufanye mavitu, baby mavitu. Kupe kila kitu,
oh baby.
Mchana kwa siku,
oh baby.
Tufanye mavitu, baby. Vitu, baby. So take this long number wine.
Jaja, yo puti jaja. Jaja, yo puti jaja.
No, no, no.
Jaja, yo puti jaja.
No, no.
Jaja, yo puti jaja, baby. Jaja, yo puti jaja. Jaja, yo puti jaja. Jaja, yo puti jaja. Jaja, yo puti jaja, baby.
I hope you know, say, this you could say. Where you got it for back in the make me the quick, quick, quick. Baby, quick, quick, quick. Come to pack your ese. Nese, nese. Zamenda ni na rungu kom ready. Kipe, pepe. Woo! Kipe, pepe. Oh la la la. Your body fine. Now when you whine, you blow my mind.
Oh la la la.
I don't wanna waste your time. So please be nice. So make your mind.
Oh la la la.
Kissing in the rainfall from the morning till the night.
Oh la la la. La-la-la-la-la-la.
Kupe kila kitu,
oh baby.
Mchana kwa siku,
oh baby.
Tufanye mavitu, baby mavitu.
nikupe kila kitu
oh baby
chana posi
oh baby
tufanye mavi oh baby vitu baby
sata kislam na bawaya
jaja yo with the jaja jaja yo with the jaja
no no no
jaja yo with the jaja
no no
jaja yo with the jaja baby jaja yo with the jaja jaja yo with the jaja jaja yo with the jaja
It's been wonderful to be back in the studio. The interview section went amazing. I'm so glad, I'm so happy to be at CJLO for a little longer. And I want to let the audience know that every Wednesday we'll be back with brand new interviews, with brand new guests. And to sign off for today's episode, I want to say an absolute thank you to the audience in Montreal and all around the world listening to Beats and Beyond, because you are the reason I do this every day. So thank you so much to the audience listening in, and I hope you enjoy the final song of our segment today. This is Arnajani, Beats and Beyond, signing out.